Welcome to the Superhost Unveiled podcast, where a small family created a thriving vacation rental business in the heart of the White Mountains. Founded by husband and wife duo Peter and Julia Plord, with the help of their business-savvy daughter Hannah, Peter was able to leave his full-time job and move him and his wife to their dream location. Together, we'll discuss the secrets of building a successful vacation rental business and beyond. Pack your bags, let's check in for the journey of your life. Here are your superhosts, Hannah and Peter Plord.
Currently have a management company because by law we had to stay with the management company for 180 days. So they're just doing their thing, and it's kind of strange.
So what do we want to get into detail on the Outer Banks and like why we picked the property there, or should we do that in a different episode? I know we talked. Do it right now.
Do it. Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
All right, it's kind of weird.
So let's go all the way back. So we decided to, and I'll let you talk in 1 second, but I'll set this up first. So we decided that we were going to buy something far away, whatever that meant, but we wanted to stay on the East Coast.
Drivable.
Yeah. We wanted something where we would be warm in March, because I woke up one day, it was 3 degrees. The wind was blowing through the notches up here in New Hampshire, and it was really, really,
I think it was like,
cold.
Feels like negative 30.
Feels like God awful, don't go outside. And I was like, it would be awesome if we could just do what we do, but be at least 50 degrees and have a beach to go walk on or something like that.
Right.
And that led us to, I think I went and started doing a ton of research on, we wanted something drivable, which technically this is drivable, maybe not for everyone, but for us, we wanted to be like 14, 15 hours max, because we don't want to fly, because we have dogs that we want to bring with us, and cats. So there was a lot of things that led us to kind of steering our way eventually to the Outer Banks. But we didn't start there. We started with that Tybee Island off of, well, we started kind of with Hilton Head.
Yeah.
Well, no, actually we didn't. We started with Savannah, Georgia.
Yes,
Georgia,
because I love Savannah, Georgia.
We love it down there.
And I thought it'd be really cool to have one of those historic houses in Savannah. But then doing research, there are very strict vacation rental restrictions.
Correct.
So we kind of didn't want to deal with that. So then we went a little bit, well, we kind of stayed in Georgia. I went to Tybee Island, and it was pretty far still and not a lot for sale. And then we kind of went up, and you were like looking in Wilmington.
And during all of this process, we actually went all the way to reaching out to realtors. We kind of had a trip planned out tentatively around a wedding we were going to down in Florida. So yeah, so that I was using AirDNA. If you don't know what that is, just Google AirDNA. It's a great place to start your search. And they have a rentalizer, it's called a rentalizer, on there where you can actually put a property address in there, and it'll spit out based on their data how much that property will earn in a year. So it gives you a good baseline of like, all right, this is a decent market. You can pay for extra stuff, but the rentalizer does do a pretty good job of like kind of giving you an idea of like, this could work for us. So yeah, so then we went to Wilmington. We actually signed agreements with realtors down there. And then we didn't, just by looking at properties with them, didn't love it.
Basically, because it seems like a really good area because they have like a historic downtown. And I was kind of drawn towards the cool like downtown loft properties. But the realtors were like, oh, you know, they're not really going to rent that well because they're not on the beach and everyone just comes here to go to the beach. And I was like looking at their beach properties, and the difference between us and like a normal investor is we wanted to be able to go and use it, you know, maybe for a month in March, and cause we would only use it in like the off season, but we wanted to go use it as our own home as well. So I kind of wanted to like the house and not just use it as an investment. And most of the properties in Wilmington, and no offense to anyone if you own this or like this kind of property, but they were all kind of high rise, you know, apartment condo buildings that all looked exactly the same. They all, you know, had the bunk beds built into like a hallway by the front door. And I was like, I really hate those kind of properties, and I don't want to be on a beach and be like you were, you know, you're one direction, you're looking at the ocean, but you turn around and all you see is high rise buildings. And to me that, I don't know, that's just not that appealing to me. I wanted something a little bit more unique and a little more quaint. I don't know, maybe growing up in Massachusetts and going to the Cape, that's what I think of a beach as being, like Cape Cod, where they don't have high rises and they don't have big, you know, hotels on the beach and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of my vision of a beach. So then I was like, I don't think I like this area. So then we kind of, I think just kind of kept going north, but it was like the more north you went, the less beach options you have. And also the more expensive it gets, I feel like, the more north you go. But all of a sudden, I don't remember why, but Pete all of a sudden was like, what about the Outer Banks?
Yeah. So we actually ended up getting excited. Like, again, I contacted a realtor down there. We actually got pretty excited about it. So we set up a trip to go stay in an Airbnb for, I think, a week or 5 days.
Which in true us fashion, it was literally like, oh, let's go next week.
Yeah, we went in next week. We didn't wait for the wedding. The market is hot, just like everywhere else. So it was, we'll get to that in a second. I have the privilege of having Miss Julia. Say hi, Julia.
Hello.
And our guest, Hannah. All right. So the first item on our list of where have we been topics is Outer Banks property. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure.
All right. Go ahead. Go for it. What does that mean? What is that all about?
We officially bought the house in the Outer Banks. We still have not been there. We've not seen it. We have no idea what we've purchased. We've seen pictures, obviously, but still it's like this unknown, and we actually forget about it quite often because we've never even been there.
Very, very beginning stages of that. We just had a review come in, and because you just reminded me of the 10 seasons check-in stuff. And the guest said in our private, he said he loved it, but in our private notes, he said, you should get an automatic door lock for the door. Hi, welcome everyone to an episode of Superhost Unveiled. And the title is, I think, quite fitting. Where have we been? Well, we're back, and it's all because we've been incredibly busy with a lot going on. And we're excited to be able to talk to you and joining me today.
But it would be a central spot. We also have one of our properties. I know we already talked about it, but one of our properties has a lockbox with keys in it. And it's currently on the front of our garage, which means we have guests pulling in. And, you know, sometimes they don't exactly read the instructions and they wander up to our front porch and look around the front porch and come in the back gate and walk around our backyard and you know, knock on our door asking where the keys are. And it's like, they're literally right on the front of our garage with it stated in the directions. But I also was like, okay, if we can get that lockbox out of there and also put that on the retail space so they, you know, aren't coming to our private home. But there's so many benefits, but the negative is that we would have overhead of rent to pay. And, you know, do we want to go that route?
Yeah, and right now we have very, very little overhead. We have no debt, and we cash flow extremely well. And I am scared to have any overhead. So now we're talking, do we buy a space? Do we lease a space? You know, is there a way to make it cash neutral? I don't see that, how we do that yet. But maybe it'll come to us once we have a space. I think we're going to probably try it, but we're just at the very, we just booked it, flew down there, stayed in a really awesome, Airbnb down there, mm-hmm. Right on the Sound. And, it was cool. We could talk about that property another time. I really still want to get Gia on here. She was our host and, who eventually we might end up partnering with.
Which is not allowed, because there's one common. So you walk in the common door, and there's four condos within that common door. So the condo complex does not allow keyless entry. And it also does not allow any sort of lockbox on their property whatsoever. Like, if they find them, they remove them and throw it away, basically. Mm-hmm. So they make it very difficult for you to rent, not through their company, which they take, what was it, 55% of the bookings?
Yeah, something crazy.
Crazy. So they make it really difficult if you don't use them. And it is difficult and annoying. Like I said, I have people, I was sitting in my living room watching TV 9:30 at night, and I have people poking around on my front porch looking for the lockbox, which is not anywhere near my front porch. So
last few times been good.
Yeah.
So knock on wood.
Yeah, I don't know.
I will say this, you know, as busy as we are, I feel like in a lot of ways, things are going incredibly well and better than last summer. Yeah. I feel like
last summer was chaos.
Last summer was crazy, and we had a major software dilemma in the middle of it. And you know, shout out to Guesty, that was money. That is money well spent, in my opinion. They do an amazing job. We just actually have someone now that's completely responsible just for us. She's our go-to person. I meet with her bi-weekly. She analyzes our business and, you know, tries to get in alignment with where we're going, what we're doing, what our goals are, et cetera. And that's just a new thing for us. So I'll let you know how that goes. But overall, you know, it's seamless. The operation's pretty seamless, other than the linen side and maybe a little bit of the trash side, but the trash side is not really that big a deal at the moment. But yeah, I feel pretty excited about it. We just brought in 3 new cleaners, and that's even going to make things better, because I feel like a lot of the walkthrough responsibilities was on one person. And I think when you have 18 turns, or even I think we had 18 yesterday, it's hard to do that and do a really thorough job or a good job with it when it's just one. Where if you split that into even 9 and 9, you know, that would make a big difference. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I think the problem is where we are, and in most of the United States, there's just a shortage of employees.
Correct. Everywhere. Yeah.
So it's been hard. Did you talk about trash at all?
But that's a whole different story. So yeah, we flew down there. We looked at, I don't know how many properties. You want to talk about the properties at all? Like someone give a kind of like a highlights of that. I'm going to go shut my phone off. That keeps dinging in the background.
It's very what I picture as a beach community. So it's just houses. There aren't the big high rises. There's not the big giant hotels. They do have some very large houses. Some of them, I think, and they call them, like mini hotels, and a lot of the locals are not happy with them, but big houses that sleep, you know, 20, 25 people. But we weren't looking for that. We were looking for more of like a small house, but found some really good options. But like Pete said, the market is really hot. And we put 2 offers on 2 different houses and then got on a plane and flew home and then, you know, lost both of those bids. And then we were kind of like, oh, well, you know, moving on, we'll just be patient, which we're not good at being patient, but we were like, we'll be patient and we'll just wait and maybe a different area will show up. And all of a sudden we got in our inbox, because the realtor there, you know, kept sending us new properties, and this awesome house popped up and we did a video tour and then put in an offer, and amazingly, the offer was accepted, which was amazing and scary at the same time. But so, yeah, flash forward to now we own it officially. And like I said, the management company is just managing it for us. And it's kind of weird not having any control over it. But we did just get an email with a review saying that they loved the views from the back deck. And I was like, oh, we have views. That's awesome. Cause we've never been there. So our guests would know more than we would know. That's it. That's my story.
Yeah, it is pretty interesting. And you know what I feel like the only thing that I can say that's a negative is the amount of nightly rent that we're getting on a nightly basis, because I do feel like most of these older school property companies, they set their rates a year in advance, and that is what it is. And up here, what we've done, and what I think the new age, or I don't even know, it's probably not that new anymore. We use dynamic pricing, which basically changes prices daily. It knows occupancy, it knows how busy we are, and it adjusts up and down all around on a daily basis to help us get, hopefully the maximum amount of a nightly rate and the highest occupancy, which creates, those two combined creates the highest revenue. So I just feel a little disappointed about that. As far as how they're taking care of it, I think, it's all green lighted and booked throughout the whole summer. We can't even get down there for a couple of days until November 28th. So, yeah. But we do love the area. We can't wait to spend some time down there. So, yeah.
So that's part one of where we.
Yeah, that's part one of why we haven't recorded any episodes of the podcast. I think the next thing is we are officially at 32 properties up here, and
it's summer, so it's our business.
And it's summer, and we're over 95% occupied for July, and we're dealing with, although we were growing and growing, I think 20 was around 20 to 25 for a while, and then boom, we just went 10 more, I think, almost seemed all at once, and put us at 32 right into the meatiest part of our season. So anything to talk about there, Hannah?
Well, I feel like we've had some headaches, and we've been experimenting and figuring things out. At first, we didn't allow any check-ins on Sundays, because Sundays were our busiest days. Well, Saturdays and Sundays. And then we realized that wasn't the problem. The problem was one-night booking, so we've eliminated that. And do you think that's been helping?
Yeah, I think, what triggered the no more bookings on Sundays is because check-ins on Sundays. And that's been, we have erased that or removed that. But why we did it was we realized by planning out our 7 to 14 days in advance that one Sunday had, I don't remember the number, 19 and
same day.
And they're all fast. Yeah. So 19 fast turns with the amount of cleaners we have. And it was, we actually did it. But it was definitely stressful. And we were like, I don't know if we can keep doing it that way. So that's why we thought no check-ins on Sundays would alleviate that. And then I realized July 4th weekend, we had no checkouts on Sunday because of the holiday. But now we're running around 8 or 9 checkouts on a Sunday, which is definitely manageable. So we realized that wasn't really the problem. It was the one-night stay. And the one-night stay was, we basically set that up. And normally, when it's not busy, we can handle that. And we charge extra. We get a lot of revenue for the one night stay. Our cleaners get to clean and keep busy, which when it's not busy, that's a good thing. But when it's busy, they're cleaning enough and they need a day off, actually. But the one night stay was also creating laundry problems.
Right. Because we had to turn it around.
Yeah. So, So then remember, and we're going to be totally transparent because this is real life for us, and there's no reason for us not to talk about real life. Whereas I think maybe other people just figured all this out. I remember listening to someone say, always buy properties or start your business where you don't live. And yes, I to be honest, I don't quite understand how you can do that. Unless you find a superstar that you can put in charge, I don't see how anyone could run our 32 units the way we run it. You know what I mean? Like we're so intimately involved and we care about so much details. I went to a house yesterday to caulk a shower that needed within 12 hours of the guest saying that there was a problem, and ended up taking the guest trash with me, talking to them. And I find it hard, if I had to manage my house in North Carolina myself, that I would be able to make that happen. I'd have to have someone in charge. So until you find that person that can run your properties that you're not living next to, then I don't feel like it's a reasonable thing to do.
Or if you're willing to pay management company.
Correct. That's what you'd have to do.
She just picked up laundry.
Our cleaner just picked up some laundry. And the dogs barked at her. So I kind of went on a tangent there, but we're talking about laundry. So think about it. So right now we're doing laundry without a company. No one does the laundry for us. We don't have a facility. We could take it to a laundromat. We could take it to a professional person to do it, but we don't.
Sometimes it's the logistics of that, is especially those one night bookings. They can't turn it around in one night.
Correct.
And it's also costly. I don't know what the word is, that it costs a good amount of money to outsource it to somebody to do the laundry for us. And so we've just been managing. We have two washers and two dryers in our home.
And then I also have a set, and Sarah has a set. Right. So we have four sets total that people are doing laundry on.
Yes. And so far it's been fine, except that one day where we had 19 turns and a bunch of them were one nights. So, I mean, each house.
It's only so fast you can do laundry because you're kind of tired.
It's an hour dryer, right?
Yeah.
And like, you know, half hour wash, that's an hour and a half for each load. But like some of our houses, like I'm doing one of the houses right now and it's six loads of laundry for one house. So, and I was thinking an average house maybe is like 2 to 3 loads. So, but even multiply 2 to 3 loads by 19 houses, it was stressful, and I was like, I don't think I can go to bed tonight because I'm going to be doing laundry all night. And it was down to the wire the next day. Like we had, because I think that one day we had five one-night bookings. And so I had to get at least those done, plus the ones that also had already been waiting to be done. It was just a lot, and it was stressful. And I think I spent 2 entire days, morning till night, doing nothing but laundry.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I feel like I was starting to make a dent in my pile in the basement, you would throw like 3 more bags down the stairs and I would go, you know, say not nice words.
Hey, you're shooting the messenger. And all I was doing was my job. So, yeah. So there's lots of dialogue right now between Julia and I and Hannah about what do we do now? Like, what do we do? For one, we stopped growing. We can talk about that in a second. But for laundry, it's manageable, but it's not, I don't think,
the ideal
situation, especially if we want to grow at all, which that's a debate as well. But I don't think we could handle much more. And, you know, we have friends that are in the business up here and they outsource to a linen company and they've told me that was the best thing they've ever done until recently. We found out that they're under some stress now because the linen companies can't staff and they're short staffed and now they're shorting linens. And I was like in my head, like, well, yeah, we have times when we are short linens too, for whatever reason, and we have to go buy some. But what do you do when all of your linens are controlled by a linen company, mm-hmm. you know, and you have no linens to choose from? So do you go buy them and now you don't have the white linens that the linen company needs? So they can't launder those probably. So it's leading us to a place of like leasing or buying space to take the linens out of our home, right?
Well, I'm basically create an office space. So it would double as, we would get a bunch of washers and dryers. So it could be a laundry facility just for us. But it would also store our clean linens and our dirty linens. And it would be a home base where our cleaners.
All of our supplies too.
All of our supplies, yes. So it could be a home base where obviously like a keyless entry. So our cleaners could have the code to get inside. They can drop off dirty laundry. They can pick up clean laundry. There'll be a dumpster there so they can dump trash if they need to. We could also down the road when there are times, because like mud season up here and sometimes in between seasons is not that busy. So we could possibly pay our cleaners to be the laundry person and say, hey, if you want extra hours, we could possibly, you know, pay you this many hours if you want to do the laundry. So it would keep our cleaners happy.
No. Want to?
Sure. Well, we've been kind of figuring things out because as our local dump in the two towns that we work in have really cracked down on recycling, which is good, not against recycling.
Yes, very good. We like recycling.
But we have many, many problems with guests just not recycling and completely ignoring all verbiage that we have in our messaging and in signs that we have all over our homes. They just don't recycle. And so what happens is whoever is picking up the trash is usually that walkthrough person has to then manually sort through everyone's trash, which just feels very invasive and very
gross.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it's really gross.
It's very disgusting.
I kind of like it.
I don't. You can take all of it.
I'll tell you, I'm going to say one thing. Yesterday was a major breakthrough. Bob's house, they recycled 100% correctly.
What?
They only, yeah, and you know, they put every, like they, so they put all the water bottles with the cup, with the tops off in a bag, in a garbage bag.
Wow.
They put all the cans in a garbage bag. They put all their glass in a,
They must be from New Hampshire.
I don't know. So anyway, keep going.
Well, 4th of July, that same house, there's only one bag of trash.
Wow.
So, I know, crazy. Anyways, tangent, that house has a lot of trash. But what we've been, what's been happening is that many of the new properties we picked up has dumpsters now, which has eliminated the need to go to the dump and sort all this because the dumpsters are, what's it called?
Single stream recycling.
Yeah, so we don't have to sort everything.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work out. You still have to go to the dump sometimes, but it's less of a nightmare.
Yeah.
Correct.
And so, they're kind of all scattered all over the place, right? So you can always get to one. Typically.
It's been really good. To say the least, I went to the dump once all week, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
and we're also getting a dumpster, hopefully
at our main house, basically our first actually
the house that we own. We're putting a dumpster there.
Yeah. So, you know, I would love to find someone that was their job or a couple people, but we haven't really even tried to find anyone, to be honest with you. So right
but
now
we're having a hard enough time finding cleaners because like Hannah said, no one wants to work. So,
yeah, I mean, we're in a good place though overall.
Yeah.
So one of our properties that we took over is out in down, I guess, in Guilford, New Hampshire, which is approximately an hour and a half away. So I wanted to bring that up because it's not within our normal radius of what we do. And it's definitely caused some challenges. And it's actually changed the way that we are managing it kind of completely. Right? Is this all me?
Yeah, it's all you. It's your deal.
So at first, I just tried to find cleaners down there, which I was successful finding an awesome cleaner. And then I was concerned that maybe I needed a backup cleaner. So then I went with the backup cleaner, and she was good too. It did a great job until one Sunday when we had all those turnovers. I got a text at 9 a.m. saying that she had food poisoning and couldn't make it. And that was alarming, to say the least. It doesn't happen. We never get call outs from cleaners normally. And I was like, all right, I got to go clean it. So I was like, that's 3 hours of my day driving. And an hour and a half probably to clean, maybe two. So that's 3-5 hours out of the loop when we have 16 turnovers up here.
Right. And I was already cleaning 4 houses.
Yeah.
Both of us were cleaning.
Yeah. Hannah and I, the dream team, were cleaning 4 houses in 6 hours. But then taking you out of the equation suddenly meant I had to go
drop linens off.
A bunch of laundry off to different houses
and trash.
Yes,
do walkthroughs.
So I took a chance and I sent a text to the original cleaner that I had, and I started driving. And but I was probably 45 minutes into my drive, I got a message from her saying, "Yeah, we can do it. We'll make it happen for you." I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is amazing!" So pulled over, turned around, got back into our world, and she went ahead and took care of it. So, you know, there's some things that we're not able to do in our normal. So, yeah, I don't know what our goals are or even where we're going to grow to, but
I think our goals right now are just to have quality over quantity and iron out all the kinks that are coming up.
Figure out the laundry issue and
That's probably the next big move.
Cause I can't, I mean, I'm home and that's fine. So like, I know in my mind, I'm like, well, I'm home, so I'm not really working. But when you spend all the time that you're at home doing laundry, it.
I'm with you 100%. I'm doing way more laundry than I ever wanted to. And I can't sit still. So sometimes I'm all right with it. And then sometimes I'm like, I have had enough. I'm not folding a fitted sheet for the rest of the day. There's no way. All right. So is this podcast episode over? Any last words?
Take away from our returning episode is just to be really choosy of what you do, whether it's buying a house to start an Airbnb or a vacation rental, or if you are starting a property management company, then you need to be really choosy and specific. And
patience.
Yeah.
Patience is a great word that I admit we don't have patience, but I feel like it's a really important virtue. Don't rush into anything that you might suddenly, you know, once all the glory of the excitement of buying a property or, you know, taking on your first property, once all the shininess goes away, sometimes you might have a regret of why did I do this? So maybe step back, look at all the pros and cons, have some patience. Maybe the better house is coming around the corner. If you just wait a little bit longer, don't rush into it.
I agree with everything you guys just said. And I think I have zero regrets about doing what we do. I do love it at the end of the day. And I think we're good at what we do. I painfully read and respond to every single guest review, every single personal comment. And I take those things personally, but it's really at the end of the day, overall validation that we're really kicking butt. And I mean, I think what we've gone through is normal, you know?
You're not growing a business if there isn't growing pains.
Right. Right.
Something's very wrong if you're not experiencing any problems.
Yeah. And the other thing I would say is that I think like there's not one size that fits all, you know, like 10 could be good for somebody.
Yeah.
5 could be good. You could just run one. There's many podcasts that I listen to that they just run one and they do an amazing job and they generate enough money and it's perfect for them. So then you got people that run 100 and they want 200 and that's great for them, you know? So I think right now I feel like where we're at is really good. It feels good. And we're just taking it one day at a time.
Yeah. Yep. So with that,
let's go paddleboard. That's on our horizon today.
Yeah.
I've never been on a paddleboard, so I'll let you know how that goes next time we have a podcast. I have a feeling I'm going to be soaked.
I don't know about that. Anyways, everyone, thank you for sticking with us and listening to another episode of Superhost Unveiled podcast. We will see you soon.
Hopefully,
Yeah, hopefully.
We will.
We'll make commitment to not wait two more months. All right. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you. Day to day that we do all the time, which is walkthroughs and write a note and all that good stuff. So what I've decided to do is partner with this cleaner completely. So one, we give her the entire cleaning fee. We get nothing from the cleaning fee. She is responsible for supplies. It's almost like what we used to do with you, Hannah.
Yeah.
And I've given her a revenue stake in the house because I want to guarantee that she, although is an extremely good cleaner, I'd kind of even want her to even think at a higher level and have some ownership in this property. You know, is she checking the grills? How's the front of the house look outside?
And she's going to have to like fill propane.
And she's going to have to take care of all that little stuff. So, so that's where we're at right now. So far, so good. She's plugged in. She's really good with communication. She takes pictures if she sees something that's breaking, like a, you know, a toilet paper dispenser or whatever it is. She's all over that stuff. So I feel confident, but to be honest with you, I had a frank conversation with the owner of like, you know, I'm not sure this is right, you know, for you to have us take care of it, but what we're good at, besides, because you're not local, what we're really good at is dealing with pricing and dealing with calendar management and 24/7 guest communication. So I can drop my rate and just handle those three things, and we'll give the rest of the percentage to the cleaner. It could be someone else that we gave it to, but this through our candid conversation and a very transparent conversation with the owner, we said, let's try this first. And if it doesn't work, then, you know, you can go find a property management vacation rental company that specializes in the Lakes region. So the house is doing really well. Reviews are good. Bookings are good. Nightly rates amazing. So we're just going to see what happens one step at a time. We'll give you some updates so you can hear about it live, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So now we can talk about owner onboarding and linens.
Hannah,
I don't know what that was about, but I'm assuming that's an issue with owners just not having enough supplies for the houses. And so part of something that I was pushing for a long time ago was to be super strict and transparent about the actual linens and counting everything and touching them and feeling them, making sure they're good quality linens. But I think I have a suspicion that both of you kind of slacked off on that.
Well, to be honest, like Dad said, that we got like 10 new properties all in like a couple of weeks span, and they all were kind of looking at that Memorial weekend and saying like, oh, I know I just closed on this house 2 days ago, but I want to get that booked for Memorial weekend. And I know from my standpoint, it was chaotic because first of all, people that literally just bought a property, so they don't know, they're not intimate with the property. They don't know the quirks. Sometimes they inherit all the linens, and so they don't know what's in there. And I know one of the houses, like I spent an entire day going through all the linens and throwing away the bad ones and trying to figure out what sizes they were and making all these giant piles everywhere and figuring out what we needed. And it was very time consuming. And a lot of these houses also were like, oh, we would like a deep clean before the first guest. And it was literally 10 houses within a 2 week time span that all needed to be created. And we have to create the listings. We have to, you know, make sure they have all the linens. And most of these people don't live here. So sometimes it came down to me having to go buy supplies for them and, you know, get all these last minute things that suddenly the first guest comes in there and says, hey, I can't find such and such. And I'm like, oh, I guess we don't have that. I'm going to go buy it and drop it off. And so it was, I will fully admit it was chaos. And I 100% blame Dad because he was responsible for all this, saying yes to all these people, which is fine. But like that many people in that short of a time frame that all were trying to get crammed in before that magical beginning of the summer holiday weekend was very stressful.
Yes. And it just goes to show that not that anyone is not a good person or not, but you cannot trust or you can't place responsibility on the client. So whether it's the owner of the house or a guest, you can't just assume that they will read everything and do everything. So for onboarding, you think it's common sense that you say you need two sets of linens once, but then they don't think linens count as towels, or you don't think towels count as linens. So you really need, if you are having a similar problem, you need to relook at your language of your onboarding and everything that you require. Really look at how you're communicating with them, and then just say, how can I get even more transparent and clear and like validate that they are actually following directions? Because we've had kind of the same thing with guests not following directions. And so we've gotten really more clear on the recycling, on the trash, like our language has gotten more strong and direct with them too. So it doesn't matter if it's an owner or if it's a guest of the house, like we have realized that you just need to be way more transparent and break it down even to like an elementary level.
Yes. And best case scenario, we would go in prior to the first guests and count every towel and count all the sheets and make sure there's backup comforters and make sure there's enough pillows and make sure there's kitchen towels. But the that whole
all of those properties, but it was just chaos. I barely knew what was going on and who had what, and there's no way I was counting towels. And in some of the cases, I mean, some of the owners were great and like took a lot of the responsibility on themselves, which is awesome. And I applaud owners like that when they say like, absolutely, I'll make sure I'll go buy all the sheets and I'll go buy all the towels and the comforters. And sometimes that's, you know, they do a great job, but then you have some people that, you know, are supposed to have 12 towels. And then we go to do like the second or third turn after guests have been there, and we're like, how come we don't have enough towels? And they say, oh, well, I was supposed to buy 12, but I only bought 8. Well, that's kind of a big deal, because now in the middle of this turn on a really busy Sunday, we have to run to the local store and buy 4 more towels. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we created an onboarding sheet. Kind of out of the chaos came the sheet. And I think now the next step is kind of, to Hannah's point, we just have to validate and inspect what we expect. So when they say they have, well, now we're going to 3 sets of linens, I think. So when they say they have 3 sets, we actually count the 3 sets.
And check it off on our checklist.
And check it off, exactly. Like,
document, maybe sign it, say, yes, I have validated they have 3 sets of this and they have enough towels. And
yeah.
3 sets are going to really help with laundry too.
Yeah.
It helps with laundry, and it's like inevitably you have the things that get ruined and stained or thrown away.
Happens way more often than you think it would.
A lot of vomit, and then they try to cover it up by just throwing our sheets away, and then we're wondering why we don't have enough sheets for the next turn, and it's like, oh, yeah.
Well, it definitely would solve having to do laundry in 24 hours.
Yeah. And so, it's like, if you only have exactly 2 sets and then something gets stained or something gets ripped, or, you know, you're then just a towel gets stained and now you're short a towel. So it's definitely good to have extras.
Yeah. So the other thing on this was, right below it, I'm sorry. We're ready to move on.
Yeah.
Is growth and goals. Very touchy subject at the Plourd household. I don't know what to say about it, honestly. We have stopped growing, technically, with an asterisk. We are very picky, I would say. And if, like, if a property and an owner check all the boxes that our criteria green lights to take them on, then we would probably take them on, but it would have to be a very special home, probably a higher
raising rates, right?
Higher level. And we're thinking about raising our rates, which are really low, probably the lowest out here for sure with what we include.
What I always go by, which I heard on, I don't know what podcast, but a podcast, someone talking about, you put in the same amount of work, whether it's, you know, a low income producing house or a high income producing house, it still involves the same amount of work. So do you want to just keep taking on a house that doesn't produce a lot of income, but for the same amount of work? Or do you want to just, you know, keep your eyes open for those really high end ones, right? You want to work smarter, harder.
Yeah, 100%. And what's interesting, because I track all of our properties from the best to the worst, and out of our 30 whatever properties we have, the top 10 delivers more than half the income for us. So we're getting more than half of our revenue from 10 out of 30.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. So, like, to your point, we are doing as much work, you know, for these
it's the
lower.
The same amount of laundry. It's the same amount of communication. It's the same amount of trash and maintenance.
And I would go a step further. Like, sometimes they demand more time and more effort because you're not able to charge a higher enough nightly rate. So your guest profile is different.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue, like, most of our something went weird on my headset. I would argue like most of our headaches come from very few houses, you know? Mm-hmm. And one thing we were talking about just the other day is like, I feel like most of our issues are house related, not
guest related,
and not related to what we provide.
Right. It's not cleanliness.
It's not like someone's you didn't give me the right snacks or, right. you know, the house wasn't clean. It's always clean. It's always like we get really good ratings on cleanliness. It's
the stuff that's out of our control.
Yeah. My shower drips and now I have to call a plumber or the bathroom is leaking or whatever. And it dripped on my bunk beds.
An electrician just wired the whole house wrong.
Right, exactly. And that just literally just happened. Yep. They installed a new AC unit, not the owner's fault, not anyone's fault, but it was wired backwards. And now the guest is like, I wanted AC. It says it has AC. And now I don't, you know, now. And then I have an electrician at the house for 8 hours on my stay. So, but these are all house related issues.
Right.
So I don't know what to say about that other than it's like, make sure you have the right. I'm finding right now for me anyway, is like, it's not a race to a number. It's kind of like, all right, let's just pause from where we are. My thing that I struggle with is the fear of like, it all is going to just get wiped away. It's not rational fear. It's just irrational fear. But it's like, I feel like if we're not growing, we might go backwards. And we're going to lose a couple of properties. Two are getting sold. And I'm fine with losing them. Well, I'm fine with losing one of them. One of them kind of, I like that house and it does well. So I'm not as fine with that one. But couldn't control it anyway. But now we're going to drop two. So in my head, I was like, all right, let's pick up two. You know, let's just maintain where we're at. I don't really want to race to 40 or race to 50. That's not my goal.
We're not going to 40 or 50.
We might. I always keep an open mind. You know, if we have a laundry facility and we're staffed and it's humming and we got enough cleaners and we can provide more benefits for local people because we pay our cleaners like an amazing amount of money that they're making.
It's like three times the local rate.
Yeah.
It's more than that.
So I feel like
four times.
There's two main things we're doing. We're providing employment where people can work great hours, any hours they want almost. And we're creating great memories for our guests. And those two things tell me why limit it unless it's not something we want to do. But like, I'm not working 100 hours a week.
Yeah, I would say right now we're kind of on the cusp of stretched too thin because like, we've been having to clean
until we brought these last three on.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like last summer was chaos and we learned from that. And then we had slow season. Now we're having the fast season again. And so it's kind of like, okay, we need to get to a point where this is comfortable.
Right.
Because then that's going to be the slow season. And so then we can move again.
Right.
Where we're not involved so much.
I don't think anything's a race.
No.
You know, and I would also say this, and I don't know how you feel, but I want to purchase another one, I think.
Yeah.
And I think I want to purchase it locally.
Yeah, but I want to get the Outer Banks one dialed in, like, because we're going to lose that management company and we're going to have to figure that out. So once that is humming away, then maybe.
That's not causing me to pause. What's causing me to pause is still the craziness of the market.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to be at a certain place financially. So, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens, then I'll be like, all right, now I'm kind of ready. Just lake house.
I know. We have the ocean now and we have the mountains. So now we need a lake house.
I kind of want something that we can manage ourselves. Like
tons complete, of lakes up here.
It's hard to find something on a lake though. That's not like $1 million.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. We're way off on a tangent.